Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man. Well, on the
earth. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Friday, October 14th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the weekend and welcome to the Great White North. We are coming to you live on location from the International Cannabis Business Conference here in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, where the money is plastic and colorful and you can see through it. I love the Canadian money. Although it's going to take me a while to get used to loonies and toonies. It's weird not having dollar bills. The lowest bill you can get is a five. It throws me off every time. And I always end up back at home with a pocket full of toonies. Nowhere to spend them, nothing to do with them. So pretty cool looking coins, though. I wish America got more into dollar coins. Anyway, we've got a great show for you today because, like I said, we're coming from the International Cannabis Business Conference. And folks, if you followed my Instagram feed or Facebook page, you'll see we had a great time last night at some of the after party events. Rocker T performed at the after party. It was a great show. If you love that classic kind of dubstep, Brooklyn style reggae, and a very, very gentle soul and a great man, it was good to see him perform. And then after the after party, we ended up going to an after party at another reggae bar where the DJ let Rocker T get up there and spit some more lyrics. And it was fantastic. It was great to see him perform twice. Also, I experienced a first in my substance use here in Canada. There's a woman here, goes by the name of Watermelon, and she's got a line of chocolate snuff. It was the damnedest thing. You could get chocolate ginger or chocolate raspberry, and it's powdered chocolate, powdered cocoa, like you'd, you know, think of like Nestle's Quick or whatever, right? And she had this kind of plastic, clear plastic delivery device that was almost like a fork almost. It had two little planks, I guess, that would fit under your nostrils, and she'd put a couple of, some of the chocolate on that. And she hold up to your nose and count to three, and you take the big sniff, and boom, you get that hit of chocolate up your nose. Definitely weird. It's not like any of the white powder drugs or anything like that. Doesn't taste like shit going down your throat afterwards. Keep you awake for 6 days or anything. But there was kind of a little kick to it, I guess. It's probably the caffeine in the chocolate itself. And kind of a nice chocolatey taste for the rest of the night. So it was weird, but I don't know if I'd do it again, but it's something new. On today's show, we have got all sorts of great segments for you. Coming up at half past, we're going to take a look at the wide world of weed and speak to some of the Canadian experts that are here at the ICBC. And then at the end of the first hour, we have time for a radical rant to take a look at the racist, homophobic reefer madness of Maine's governor, Paul LePage. He's come out with an anti-question one video that is just chock full of reefer madness. We'll debunk it all and give you a look at some of his other statements that prove him to be second only to Donald Trump in human dumpster fire. In the first half hour here, we'll have time for some drug war data mining. The Arizona director of the Department of Public Safety has come out saying medical marijuana is a joke and nobody should vote for legalization. And very, very egregiously misrepresented the statistics on Arizona's medical marijuana program. We'll set him straight in drug war data mining. We've also got a behind the headlines segment. Our cannabis focus today is a look at the Philippines and Rodrigo Duterte, the president there, who's issued a call for genocide of all drug consumers and what effect that has had. But first, we'll start with the Cannabis Radio News. Got all sorts of headlines out of Canada, out of Utah, out of Maryland, out of Arizona and Montana. Stay tuned. We're back right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
K cannabis use isn't the only thing growing.
So are we.
Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolut, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
I hope everybody's got their vape pen handy or their pipe or their bong or whatever you use to do your medicine.
But you don't, it's not a requirement. You don't have to be high for this show.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
I don't know who you're talking to. You have to be high to do anything. At least I do. I don't know about you. In fact, I've been high so long that being straight is another high.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Who's your favorite foreign leader? I guess I'm having an Aleppo moment. I'm having a brain.
Name anybody.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Friday, October 14th, 2016. Kylo Williams, a four-year-old in British Columbia, has a new hope for health as Health Canada has decided she may use cannabidiol oil to treat her over 300 epileptic seizures per day. Her mother and father, a former RCMP officer, discovered 2 years ago that Charlotte's Web hemp extract kept Kylo's seizures at bay for weeks at a time. But the Canada Border Services Agency would often seize the shipments of the oil the family would receive from Colorado due to Canada's marijuana prohibition laws. Health Canada has recently decided to allow access to cannabidiol oil as long as parents have an official exemption letter. Leaders of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have issued a letter urging California, Arizona, and Nevada Mormons to vote no on state legalization initiatives. Thomas S. Monson, Henry B. Eyring, and Dieter F. Uchtdorf, the first presidency of the LDS Church, warned that, quote, drug abuse in the United States is at epidemic proportions and the dangers of marijuana to public health and safety are well documented, end quote. They also note the concern about, quote, the risks that marijuana use poses to brain development in youth, end quote. Nevada and Arizona rank in the top five states with the greatest Mormon population. About 1 in 16 residents of those Southwest states is LDS, totaling about 600,000 members. About 2% of California's population is Mormon, totaling over 773,000 members. Two former Colorado politicians misrepresent the facts in a TV ad to oppose marijuana legalization in Arizona. Former Denver Mayor Wellington Webb, a Democrat, and former Colorado Governor Bill Owens, a Republican, appear in the spot. Governor Owens claims that marijuana-related traffic deaths increased 62% since legalization, glossing over the fact that marijuana-related just means it was detected in the driver's system, not that they were high at the time of their crash. Colorado State Patrol data show that marijuana DUIs actually dropped from 2014 to 2015. Mayor Webb claims that 50% of newborn babies tested at a Colorado hospital tested positive for THC. However, this only refers to just 11 babies tested in one hospital in 1 month, not all Colorado babies, which introduces selection bias. Webb also says Denver schools didn't get any marijuana tax money, purposefully omitting that his city opted out of receiving its share of the taxes. The Montana Commissioner of Political Practices says an anti-marijuana ballot committee broke state law by spending money on more than one initiative. Safe Montana's ballot proposal to ban marijuana in the state failed to gather enough signatures to go before voters on November 8th. The group also spent money on billboards opposing a separate ballot measure to loosen the state's medical marijuana law. Commissioner John Model says ballot committees are limited to participating in one issue, and the law prohibits Safe Montana from spending money to support one measure and oppose another. Model also wrote in Thursday's decision that Safe Montana was late in filing reports, failed to produce records during the investigation, and did not have proper attribution on its website. Most sufficiency findings by Model are resolved through negotiated settlements. Maryland Natural Treatment Solutions is the latest rejected applicant to sue the state over alleged favoritism in issuing 15 licenses to medical marijuana growers. The company ended up ranked 17th in a review and ranking process conducted independently by Towson University. However, the Maryland Medical Cannabis Commission declared that the top 15 applicants didn't represent enough geographic diversity. So the commission dropped applicants ranked 8th and 12th, then promoted the applicants ranked 20th and 21st to represent Southern Maryland and the Lower Eastern Shore. Maryland Natural's complaint is that it had offered to move anywhere in the state to satisfy the commission's geographic diversity requirements, according to commission documents. The commission says that applicants had to have a current site fitting the requirements, so the subcommission that selected the grower licenses was never informed about Maryland Natural's offer to move. A new study that has been published in the American Journal of Medicine suggests that poorer bone health could be a result of marijuana use. We will focus on that when we talk to Dr. Mitch on Monday. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Friday, October 14th, 2016.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points. PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Lisa was an amazing girl.
She loved boating, photography, drama.
Nothing could stop the cancer.
She was only 17.
She had surgeries, hundreds of chemos, radiation. All they could do was try to make her feel better. We did lose Elise in September. It was horrific.
I don't know why anyone would choose to deny her relief by denying her access to medical marijuana.
Yes on Two is compassion for those still fighting.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I beat China all the time.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we continue our look overseas at the Philippines, which is experiencing a massacre of drug users directed by the president himself, who is offering immunity to the police and the vigilante gangs
that kill drug users and drug traffickers. He was elected with a plurality vote, just, I think it was 39% of the vote in the Philippines, and was elected even as he campaigned on this platform. He actually said that he would be killing so many criminals that he would fill Manila Bay with enough bodies to keep the fish fat. That was one of his statements. And recently had a statement where he compared himself to Hitler, where he said Hitler massacred 3 million Jews. He was undercounting by half, but he says Hitler massacred 3 million Jews, and if I have to be, you know, if I have to massacre 3 million drug users to make this country safe, I will, or something to that effect. He's also said, quote, to Filipinos, he said, quote, feel free to call us, the police, or do it yourself if you have the gun. Since he has begun this massacre, this atrocity on drug users, over 3,000 people have been murdered, either by the police or by these vigilante gangs. And in many cases, the bodies are left in the streets, bloody, with signs printed next to them that say things, well, of course, in Spanish, but say things like a drug dealer, a good riddance, for example. Another 600,000 to 700,000 admitted drug users have turned themselves in to prisons that are conditions somewhat like concentration camps just to avoid being murdered in the streets. Well, yesterday, activists in Washington, D.C. protested this mass murder and detention of people at the Philippines Embassy in Washington. The Deputy Director of Drug Policy Alliance, Michael Collins, he handles the Office of National Affairs, said, quote, Duterte must stop this senseless massacre immediately. The U.S. must also suspend aid to the Philippines, especially any financial support that is used to train the very same police forces that are implicated in these killings, end quote. These are activists, in addition to Drug Policy Alliance, included Vocal New York, Health Gap, Harm Reduction Coalition, the Student Global AIDS Campaign, ACT UP New York, and others. And this is all part of a global week of action called by the Asian Network of People Who Use Drugs. Hillary McQuee of Health Gap said, quote, President Obama and Secretary Kerry must strongly condemn the killings and immediately withdraw the pledged $32 million for law enforcement in the Philippines until President Duterte acts to end the bloody human rights abuses. It is early in this extremely deadly version of the war on drugs to know what effect it will have on HIV prevalence, but we are deeply concerned about both immediate and long-term consequences to health and human rights, and we know that ending the war on drugs tactics is essential to ending AIDS. The reports I've gotten from activist friends on the East Coast who attended this demonstration said it was quite successful, garnered a lot of attention. People here in America don't know what's going on with Duterte and the Philippines, and this is the logical end result. This is the extreme that you get from the prohibitionist mindset. The idea that drug users are demons or vampires or Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde must be exterminated. Not treated, not dealt with, not tolerated, but exterminated, like vermin. And this, I also think, sends a message to a lot of us here in America as we're looking at our election coming up with a very authoritarian-minded sort of candidate who promises to lock people up and deport people and build walls. And a lot of people out there are thinking such a madman couldn't possibly gain office. Well, keep in mind, when these madmen run for office and they show you their authoritarian bent, they're not kidding. They will act on those issues. And if the voting doesn't go precisely right, that is, if, like the Philippines, the opposition divides itself amongst multiple candidates, it is very possible for such an authoritarian to gain office with a plurality vote. Keep that in mind. Meanwhile, we'll keep our eyes on the Philippines and Rodrigo Duterte, whose ouster from office cannot come soon enough. The man is committing human rights abuses. These are crimes against humanity that should be brought up at The Hague. This guy should be under international law, international charges. Unfortunately, we're friends with too many despotic regimes that have similar ideas about executing drug users, and we don't want to upset some of those apple carts because some of those people have a lot of oil that we like. So once again, we see how world politics affects the drug war.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Appreciate that. It is 20 after the hour. That means it's 4:20 in the Mountain Time Zone. So happy 4:20, everybody in Manitoba. Or is it Alberta? I don't know. I could be right or wrong. I don't know. Let me know in the chat room. We're going to take a break for our safety meeting. And when we come back, a look at Arizona's Department of Public Safety lying about medical marijuana.
Maui Waui, Acapulco Gold, California Kush, our strain stretch everywhere too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belleville Show.
Senator Mark Madsen of Utah. Mark, welcome to the show.
Everybody kind of turns a blind eye. They obviously have to go to some other state.
Representative Lou Fredericks.
We're going to get something on the order of nonviolent possession offenses.
State Representative Kathy Tilton.
Where does it go from personal use to commercial use?
It's the Russ Belleville Show, the NPR of POT, weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belleville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Woo! Okay.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
The Russ Belleville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Data Mines, we want to take a look at the state of Arizona, where their Proposition 205 will legalize marijuana if it's passed this November. But the head of the Arizona Department of Public Safety, a guy named Frank Milstead, says marijuana is a gateway drug that got his son kicked out of high school. Marijuana doesn't need to be legalized anyway, Milstead explains, because the state's medical marijuana program is a lie and a joke. Here's the quotes. These come from KTAR News. He said, quote, "People in Arizona who want to smoke marijuana today, they can smoke marijuana. They just have to go see one of those quacks to get a medical marijuana card, and they can smoke all the grass they want to smoke. 80-some-odd percent of the cards are issued to white male kids under the age of frickin' 25. If I had chronic pain at 25, I don't know where I'd be today." End quote. All right, well, let's just put aside the fact that chronic pain isn't a condition limited to frail old people. People age 25 can be military vets, high school or collegiate athletes, construction workers. They might suffer congenital conditions. They may have been in car wrecks. They may have had all sorts of accidents that can lead to lifetime chronic pain. No, let's just put that aside for the moment. The most troubling part of Milstead's comments, the director of the Arizona Department of Public Safety, is his reliance on these hackneyed stereotypes rather than his own state's data. Hell, he could probably go over to the next office down the hall to visit the Arizona Department of Health Service, the organization that administers Arizona's state medical marijuana program, and look up one of their monthly reports. They issue a report every month that includes the demographics of the program. The most recent report comes to us from May of 2016 that tells us there's almost 100,000 medical marijuana patients in Arizona, 99,895. Out of those patients, those who are less than 18 years old, 0.16%, 18 to 30, 24.82%, 31 to 40, 20.45%, 41 to 50, 15.74%, 51 to 60, 18.42%, 61 to 70, 15.96%, 71 to 80, 3.68%, and 81 or older, 0.78%. So, Director Milstead, some 80-some-odd percent of medical marijuana cardholders aren't just under the age of 25, they're actually under the age of 60. All the cards added up together under the age of 60 is about 80-some-odd percent. Now, there are, statistically speaking, two male cardholders for every female cardholder. But the average age for the male cardholders is 43. And the average age for the females is 47. Now, it's also true, statistically speaking, that more than 4 out of 5 cards over 80% are issued for chronic pain. And there's another 1 in 10 cards that are issued for 2 or more conditions, and one of those could be chronic pain. However, for all the conditions that marijuana is recommended for, we actually have some of the best scientific proof of medical efficacy for chronic pain, especially the neuropathic variety of pain. Now look, I'm not naive here. It's certainly reasonable to believe that some of the chronic pain patients in Arizona are recreational consumers who've managed to game the system. But come on, nobody can believe it's all of them. And with this nation in the grips of an opioid overdose epidemic, and the recent evidence we've got that medical marijuana access dramatically reduces opiate use and overdose, why should we be freaking out about pain patients using marijuana, a non-toxic substance that cannot kill? And as far as Milstead's comment about the quacks, the medical doctors issuing these recommendations, again, you can't reasonably assume all doctors are quacks. But the quacky doctors and the faking patients who do exist are a function of the prohibition restricting access to a popular consumer product. If you really think medical marijuana is a joke and a lie, Director Milstead, then support the marijuana legalization that removes the incentive to joke and lie. Stop forcing us to be comedians. Look, Director Milstead's not alone in suffering from an aspect of reefer madness known as confirmation bias. His problem is he's too close to the issue. He's got a son who had a dysfunctional relationship with marijuana, and he's attributing that to the entire population of cannabis consumers. This is not to dismiss his son's difficulties. Some people do have dependence issues, and they're serious. They're troubling mental health problems that you shouldn't take lightly. But if his son had an alcohol or oxycodone problem, I doubt Milstead would be calling for their prohibition and the criminalization of his son. The fact that his son had a marijuana problem under prohibition shows us that's not the solution to the problem. It exists without legalization or prohibition, whatever. So I have no problem with people that are opposed. Well, I do have a problem with people that are opposed to legalization, but at least oppose it with the facts. At least come at us with verified statistics. And it's just inexcusable to be a director in a state organization and not even know the data your own state is producing on this particular issue. It's a public malfeasance of your duties as an officer of the state to be misinforming the public in advance of this important vote on legalization. But it's not surprising. We've seen it many, many times. Well, folks, we're getting enough states legalized around here that they won't have many prohibition legs left to stand on. That's the good news. Now we got to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to look at the wide world of weed, particularly the wide world of hemp, with our good friend Joy Beckerman,
Hemp Ace International and queen of all things hempy. Back right after this from Canada.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
How high do you like your profit margin?
CannabisRadio.com.
The 2016 Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo is only days away, October 14th through the 16th in Phoenix. Register right now at SWCCExpo2016.com. Check out over 100 exhibitors showcasing their businesses and the new advances being made in medical and legal cannabis markets. Plus, a can't-miss exclusive discussion on Arizona's Proposition 205. Check out over 100 exhibitors and thousands of cannabis professionals in Phoenix, October 14th through the 16th. Last-minute registration is open now at SWCCExpo2016.com.
I was a Boston PD cop, and now, as a professor, I believe Yes on 4 is a smart choice to protect families. Let me explain. Question 4 requires strict product labeling and childproof packaging and bans advertising directed at kids. And question 4 bans consuming marijuana in public. It will tax and regulate marijuana for adults 21 and over, bringing millions in revenue for schools or law enforcement. Vote yes on 4. Smart regulations protecting families.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Marijuana legalization is a worldwide phenomenon. Get yourself positioned for the global cannabis marketplace by attending the International Cannabis Business Conference in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. You'll learn from established cannabis professionals, elected officials, and internationally recognized marijuana law reform activists. You'll also enjoy the ICBC's famous VIP party featuring ICBC special guest speaker and Canadian native Tommy Chong. The ICBC is happening in Vancouver on Thursday and Friday, October 13th and 14th at the Hyatt Regency. Log on to internationalcbc.com today to reserve your tickets. That's internationalcbc.com, and bookmark our page for the next ICBCs taking place in Berlin, Germany and San Francisco, California. Don't miss the International Cannabis Business Conference, internationalcbc.com. The global prohibition of cannabis is a crime against the planet committed primarily by the United States. But as more U.S. states reform their marijuana laws, countries around the world are stepping back from cannabis prohibition. Join us now for a look at the international cannabis reform movement in this edition of The Wide World of Weed. Welcome back, everybody. It is 33 after the hour. We're coming to you live from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We are on site at the International Cannabis Business Conference and Expo. And right at this very moment, the guru of ganja, Ed Rosenthal, is receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award. And man, I wish I was in that other room right now, because he said he was going to have quite a fiery speech lined up. We'll have to find out later what he actually said. But joining me here at the desk, a good friend of the show, my sativa sister from Seattle, who rode with me on the Amtrak train, although we didn't know we were on the Amtrak train together. It's Joy Beckerman from Hemp Ace International. She's joining us here. And welcome back, Joy.
So great to be here every single time, Radical Russ.
Right on, right on. So here we are in Canada, and I understand that they had a shortage on the on one of the panels, and you got to kind of dish on Canadian hemp.
How awesome is that, that I got to pinch hit with the Miss Jamie Shaw and Dieter McPherson and Kirk Dussault? Yes, indeed, because there are some interesting things happening in Canada as well, even though, of course, they legalized here industrial hemp in 1998, but are an excellent sort of a case study of how we continue to be vigilant this many years later. Again, as I mentioned today, the Canadian hemp farmers are not allowed to collect plant materials, so the flowering parts, leaves, even the bracts around the seeds, for that non-intoxicating phytocannabinoid extraction, and are really beginning to ramp up the fight for that right.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm so focused on the marijuana issue and somewhat medical. Every time I get to talk to you in depth about hemp and we get into some of these weird little quirks of how the laws are set up, in Canada, they can harvest all the fiber stuff, but they can't use the leaf and the veggie material. In America, in some of the states, the marijuana producers can use all the marijuana material but can't use the stalks.
It's fascinating.
Yeah,
thank you.
One.
Yes, indeed. So in Canada, mostly, and the big issue with industrial hemp is that we need infrastructure. So with marijuana, you grow marijuana, you cure marijuana, you dry marijuana, you smoke marijuana, and or you further extract it. Now, that infrastructure for marijuana extraction, cannabis extraction, can be very expensive, but in terms of its comparison of being able to process the industrial hemp seed for oil on a large scale and for seed cake milling for our protein powders, and our decortication infrastructure, meaning the separating of that outer bast fiber of the stalk from that inner woody core, all of that infrastructure and all of that machinery is, we're talking tens of millions of dollars. And then further, if we're going to take that fiber and move it into further manufacturing involving textiles or paper, we actually need new infrastructure for that. We're not just going to be able to take hemp fiber and move it into a cotton sort of lateral move. It doesn't work like that. Hemp is its own unique fiber in that respect. And it's the same thing with paper. We can't just move hemp pulp into a wood pulp paper making process. We have to actually get new equipment to be able to process hemp pulp. So having said that, back to the fact that the extraction of phytocannabinoids, whether it's marijuana or it's industrial hemp, being far less expensive, our hemp farmers, of course, whether we're in North America, whether we're in the United States or whether we're in Canada, want to be able to use that biomass to not only not to waste it, because, of course, farmers are not into wasting biomass at all, but to use it for its, get it out into the public for the valuable medicine that it is, but also to be able to, you know, generate revenue from it. So since 1998, the farmers here have not been able to extract phytocannabinoids. They still are unable to. And yes, in America, whereas in Canada they have federal law, in America we have 50 different laws, and in fact 31 states that have actually passed some type of legislation for industrial hemp. And of those states, I divided into three categories of legalization. So some, let's take Colorado, have just been like, we're legalizing. We don't care that there's some federal path to do it, that there's some amendment, you silly farm bill people passed on a federal level. We're just going to do what we want to do. And they do extraction, they do fiber, they do seeds, to the extent that they have, of course, limited infrastructure to process fiber and seeds. They have a tremendous infrastructure to process extraction. Then we have these two other categories that have actually followed this pathway that the feds have laid out, which is Section 7606 of the Farm Bill. And these two different categories are, okay, we actually are going to legalize under a research program, but we're going to allow for plant material collection and the extraction of phytocannabinoids. And then we have states like Washington, which we just legalized hemp in March of 2016. I know that comes as a shock to folks because folks think that we legalized it when we legalized marijuana in 2012. We, like Canada, have written into our law that our hemp farmers will not be able to collect plant material and extract for phytocannabinoids. The silver lining to that is that states that have legalized in that same respect as Washington and or as Canada, not allowing the farmers to do that, will move forward with the oil seed and fiber. And the oil seed and fiber in the long run is the $1 trillion industry with industrial hemp. So phytocannabinoid extraction is a smaller portion, obviously, of what industrial hemp's true potential is. But it's fascinating that a non-intoxicating of the 144 cannabinoids that we know of, only 143 of them, I believe, so far have we nailed as intoxicating. And that's even the decarboxylated form of one of them. Not allowed to. So literally we're talking about wasted biomass. It must be left in Canada and in states like Washington on farm. Cannot be processed. Must stay on the farm. In sense.
Wow. And then when we're talking about this extraction of phytocannabinoids from the plant material of industrial hemp, that's the longhand version of getting CBD from hemp.
That's basically they're trying to make this workaround of, oh, the CBD oil is good for the kids, but marijuana is illegal, but hemp will make that. And this is where we get into that murky area of these sellers that are saying, oh, we've got this legal CBD, it's legal in all 50 states, and maybe you can dish
Thank
on that
you.
A bit.
Yeah, indeed. And it's such a gray area. It's a fascinating area because it's developing so rapidly. It's like, don't blink, something changed in either a regulation or not. But so I think the big drumbeat that the DEA, of course, is beating all the while is that cannabinoids, phytocannabinoids come from the resins of the plant. And that if you look at the definition of marijuana in the Controlled Substances Act, you'll see that in those two sentences, the word resin is used three times. It's used twice within the first sentence that discusses marijuana, and it's used once in the second sentence that discusses the exclusion of industrial hemp within marijuana. But the issue is that it discusses itself in that sentence as an exception to the exclusion. So when it says such term, meaning marijuana, does not include the mature stalks thereof, and it goes on, it then has a parenthetical that says, except the resins therefrom. So what the architects of the Nixon administration, although you know I, being the nerd that I am, I can't help but say that this definition is actually taken word for word from the 1937 Marijuana Tax Act. The architects of that definition of marijuana wanted to make sure we knew that whether you are talking about marijuana or whether you were talking about the exception for marijuana, which is industrial hemp, those resins are off limits. So, having said that, the DEA beats that drum. We have, however, such a defensible network of holes big enough to drive a hemp CBD truck through, whether it's various new law, the definition of industrial hemp that was written in the Section 7606, which does not include a carve-out for resin. So this new definition, which is historical, which was included in that farm bill, that distinguishes industrial hemp from marijuana for the first time in U.S. history, simply defines it as any part of the plant cannabis sativa, whether growing or not, with a THC concentration of not greater than 0.3% on a dry weight basis. So no carve out for the resins. This is a hole big enough to drive a truck through. We're saying, yay. At Section 7606, you're allowing us to use any part of the industrial hemp plant without a carve-out. Then we have the subsequent language in Consolidated Appropriations Act, as you know, because medical marijuana is also being protected in these budgetary bills that the U.S. Congress passes each year, saying that the Department of Justice and the Drug Enforcement Administration are not allowed to use certain funds to prosecute state legal and state compliant actors. And that includes industrial hemp as well. Having said that, there is the USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture, the DEA, and the FDA, our Food and Drug Administration, and our U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Those are the four federal agencies that you want to be looking at for this constantly changing regulation, policies, and practices as concerns hemp-derived CBD. In the end, they all are agreeing and they are all putting out there that no, they do not intend for industrial hemp under research federal law to be grown for folks to be extracting phytocannabinoids from that. It's totally defensible, but the feds are telling us that no, they are not condoning that. The issue is they're neither enforcing it nor going after these actors, and so we continue to just consider ourselves to be defending what we're doing. But in the plain letter of the law, when we say on all these websites it's legal in all 50 states, it's a leap. I don't want to condemn anybody for making those claims. You know, being on the law side of things, I don't say that because I don't believe that claim. It's a defensible claim. Let's leave it at that.
Well, we just have about a minute and a half left here, and Jamie Shaw is right in front of the desk here, so I thought we'd say hi to Jamie, and thank you for getting Joy on your panel today.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome that she was able to do it. We had some last-minute cancellations and found out that Joy was also a member of the Canadian Hemp Alliance, so that was amazing, and she killed it.
All right, so just real quickly here, what are some of the main, or maybe the main thing you'd like to get across to people listening about Canadian activism and how they can help?
Oh, geez. You know, it's honestly very similar to what's going on in the States. The specific issues are different, but we see the same patchworks. We see the same cities moving forward with sensible regulations and making compromises in certain areas. And we see other places doing the opposite or going in different directions. Up here where dispensaries are still illegal, according to the government, it's fascinating to us when places like Louisiana pass legislation that allows them to have dispensaries. So it's a little mind-boggling here. But, you know, ultimately, I think we're all going the same way. We're all going the same place. We all kind of want the same things, ultimately. And there's some differing opinions about how to get there, as you know very well yourself from your conversations with Be Real this week.
Yes, yes. Certainly learned a lot from that. Well, I'm learning a ton about what's going on in Canada and up here at the ICBC. So many great Canadian activists to learn from. Jamie, thanks so much. And do you have any contacts you want to give out to people if they'd like more information?
Sure. Well, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Jamie S. A. Shaw, or Jamie Shaw on Facebook. Those would be good places to check.
All right. And for you, Joy, any contact information for people?
Thank you so much. HempAce.com and at HempAce on Twitter, Joy Beckerman on Facebook.
Right on.
Love
all right.
You, Jamie Shaw, goddess.
Back at you, girl.
That's all the time we got for this interview. So thank you so much for stopping by, learning a little bit more about what's happening all around the world. When we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant on the racist, homophobic reefer madness of Maine Governor Paul LePage. Stay tuned.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Seed to sale, clicks to conversions, and more. You're listening to the Cannabis Radio Network.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Voober vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Voober vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Voober way.
Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
Obama, for instance, no matter what he said, there's a whole bunch of people that are going to be against him for saying whatever it is. Santa Claus is a nice guy. Someone says, Santa Claus must be a thief if Obama likes him. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a racist attitude.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Could be Russia, but it could also be China. Could also be lots of other people. It also could be somebody sitting on their bed that weighs 400 pounds, okay?
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Coming soon to a city near you. Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it. And didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
Well, folks, today to end the week, we have got a look all the way in the northeastern corner of this great country of the United States to the state of Maine, which will be voting on marijuana legalization this November, and their governor, Paul LePage. Now, if you've not been following politics or know about this guy, this Paul LePage, let's just say he's like Donald Trump's mini-me. This guy, oh my God, the people of Maine just must wake up every week thinking, all right, what idiotic thing is this guy going to say next? Paul LePage has just put out a video. I don't know if it's officially coordinated with the anti-legalization campaign or if he did it on his own. It doesn't matter. He's put out a new video that is a warning of the dangers that will befall the state of Maine if they are to legalize marijuana this November. Let me play you the audio from this address from Governor Paul LePage.
Question one is not just bad for Maine. It can be deadly. Marijuana kills people on the highways. Traffic deaths in Colorado have increased dramatically. Marijuana is three times stronger than it was in the 1980s. People addicted to marijuana are three times more likely to be addicted to heroin. Heroin is already killing seven Mainers a week. We do not need to legalize another drug that could lead to more deaths. THC levels in marijuana snacks are so high they could kill children and pets. Pot snacks like cookies, candy, gummy bears, and soda. Children can't tell if their weed is in these snacks. People will smoke marijuana in pot stores right next to schools, daycare centers, and churches. They will smoke weed and sell pot at state fairs. Businesses could not fire employees for using marijuana. Before you vote, please educate yourself on this dangerous issue.
So there you go. It's almost, I really have to congratulate LePage in one respect for setting a record for the most reefer madness statements in 1 minute that I think I've ever heard crammed into one speech. That is just remarkable how much bullshit we have to debunk in that one 72nd speech. But let's see if we can get to some of it. First of all, he says it can be deadly. Well, no, marijuana it can't be deadly. It has no known overdose potential. Nobody's ever died from it. He claims the traffic fatalities have gone up since the state legalized recreational pot. No, traffic fatalities have actually gone down in the state of Colorado. They've continued to go down over the past decade. They remain below the national average over the past 7 or 8 years. And they're below the traffic deaths in the state of Maine. Even when it comes to marijuana DUIs, there were fewer DUIs for marijuana alone in 2015 than there were in 2014. He says the marijuana is three times stronger than it was several decades ago. This may be the only true thing he said in the whole statement. It's a little bit of an exaggeration. The real number is about twice as potent, but close enough for LePage, I suppose. But then for him to say that they got seven people dying of heroin overdoses a week, was it, in Maine, and that people addicted to marijuana are three times more likely to be addicted to heroin, ignores the fact that we've seen these reports from these states that show fewer opioids prescribed in states that have access to medical marijuana, fewer opioid overdoses in states that have access to medical marijuana. And as far as the three times more likely to be addicted to heroin, this is the old gateway theory. And again, just because there's a correlation doesn't mean there's a causation. I mean, you're three times more likely to join the Hell's Angels if you rode a dirt bike as a kid. Doesn't mean riding dirt bikes is going to make you a Hell's Angel. Okay? It's the same ridiculous sort of gateway thinking. He also goes on to say that the children and pets will die from consuming marijuana snacks. Oh my God, the gummy bears are going to kill people. No, they are not. They're not. Not a single child has died. Dr. Schwartzler in Oregon in 2014 got called out for saying just that. Now, as far as the pets, yeah, look, if you get a chihuahua and he eats a whole bunch of pot, yeah, there might be a problem. There can be hypothermia problems because cannabis is a vasodilator, right? It opens up your blood vessels, and the blood rushing away from the internal parts of the dog can cause some problems. Yeah, we're talking small dogs. There might be a problem, but come on, LePage, and this idea that there'll be smoking pot next to the schools, daycare centers, and churches isn't supported by the law that they're trying to pass in the state. The local licensing there in the state is going to keep it away from those sorts of areas. The retail marijuana establishments, so to speak, they will be adopting rules. The commissions there in Maine will be adopting rules. Part of those rules can specify the distances that these locations must be away. This is in section 2444, paragraph 2, line G. It has minimum lighting, physics and security, alarm requirements, procedures for internal controls, fingerprint criminal history checks. I mean, there's a ton of this stuff here that's going to be protecting the people of Maine on these retail establishments. He also goes on to say that they'll smoke weed and sell pot at state fairs. No, they're not going to be smoking weed and selling pot. Now, the Oregon State Fair has had a display of cannabis plants. That's not smoking weed and selling it. This guy is just so reefer mad. It's almost hard to wrap your mind around just how crazy he is when it comes to the marijuana issue. But it's not surprising if you know more about this Governor LePage. As we look at the background of this guy, the Portland Press Herald, I think is the newspaper, has been keeping a log of the stupid things he says. Going back to 2010, I collected some of them earlier today as I was writing a comment on this on Facebook. Let me give you a few of them from Governor LePage. Referring to drug traffickers, he says, quote, "What I think we ought to do is bring back the guillotine. We could have public executions." Guy sounds like Duterte in the Philippines, doesn't he? Speaking about drug traffickers, he said, quote, "The traffickers, these are guys by the name D-Money, Smoothie, Shifty. These types of guys that come from Connecticut, New York, they come up here, they sell their heroin, then they go back home. Incidentally, half the time they impregnate a young white girl before they leave, which is the real sad thing, because then we have another issue we got to deal with down the road." End quote. D-Money. D-Money's coming to Maine to impregnate the white women. Oh, my God. Harry Janslinger must be proud. Here's another quote from him. We'll get off some of the drug quotes. Here's some of the other just crazy quotes. Quote, "What I'm trying to say is the Holocaust was a horrific crime against humanity, and frankly, I would never want to see that repeated. Maybe the IRS is not quite as bad yet." End quote. Yeah, that's right. The tax revenues are firing up the ovens. Yeah, okay. Here's another one. Now, this was one that got some national play just, I think it was a month ago. He was in his dispute with one of the state representatives, and he got upset about him. And one was a statement he made to the press. Another one was a voicemail that he left on the guy's voicemail. So let me give you the press statement. First was, quote, "When a snot-nosed little guy from Westbrook calls me a racist, now I'd like him to come up here because, tell you right now, I wish it were 1825. And we would have a duel. That's how angry I am. And I would not put my gun in the air. I guarantee you, I would not be Alexander Hamilton. I would point it right between his eyes because he is a snot-nosed little runt and he has not done a damn thing since he's been in this legislature to help move the state forward." End quote. That's the public statement. The statement he made on the voicemail is this one, quote, "Mr. Gattine, this is Governor Paul Richard LePage. I would like to talk to you about your comments about my being a racist, you cocksucker. I want to talk to you. I want you to prove that I'm a racist. I've spent my life helping black people, and you little son of a bitch socialist cocksucker, you. I need you to just friggin', I want you to record this and make it public because I am after you. Thank you." And finally, one last one. With regard to his controversy about MLK Day, Martin Luther King, he said, quote, tell the NAACP to kiss my butt. End quote. Okay, so that's the governor of Maine, Paul LePage, and some drug activists, reform activists in Maine are saying that his video may actually be a boost for the campaign because of how crazy this guy is, and if he's against legalization, well, it must be something good. That's all the time we got for Hour 1. Stay tuned, Hour 2 is next. We got some Toker Talk Radio coming here live from Canada. From everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.